My name is Miki Kasztan, and this is the Conflict Hotline. Welcome back. With me in the studio today are Jared, who is here for the first time. Welcome to join the cast. And Newt, who is a longtime favorite, and at least of mine. And together we're going to be playing with various scenarios. We have a particular focus this month. Our focus is communication in the workplace. And we're starting with a scenario which we call You're Not a Team Player. And that features Julia and Robert. And Robert is Julia's boss.
So, Julia, very quick feedback for you, should be simple. I just need you to be more of a team player than you have been, and just to show up in the team, okay? So if you could start doing that, we'll be fine.
Okay. Did you say more of a team player?
Yeah, just more of a team player, you know, than you have been.
What do you mean by that, more of a team player?
Just being part of the team, showing up as part of the team, you know, giving the other people the sense that you're with them. Yeah.
With them? I don't understand that at all. How come I supposed to be more with them and part of it? I don't understand.
Well, it's not rocket science, you know. I don't really understand why you're giving me all this pushback about it.
I'm not giving you any pushback. I'm just trying to understand what you mean by a team player. It's very vague to me. I'm trying to get a clear sense of what
Thank
you're asking
you.
For me.
Thank you very much. I imagine if you've worked anywhere, something like this has happened to you or a coworker on either side of the equation that you find yourself in. Our purpose in this program is to support you, the viewers, in finding ways to transform your thinking and communication to create peace, harmony, understanding, and effectiveness, especially in the workplace. As you could see in this scenario, one of the things that often tend to happen in the workplace is people stumble around feedback giving and feedback receiving. We saw that there was a lot of tension here, and we'll come back to it. And then all the tension has to do with there's some basic features, skills, principles about giving feedback that I will talk with Robert about. And there are also some principles about how to receive feedback that I will talk with Julia about when we come back to the role play. And then on top of these difficulties that all of us don't have these skills, things get complicated further by the fact that there are power differences in organizations, and then who gets to say what and how to whom becomes complicated. So we will look at what can you do to create understanding, collaboration, mutual respect in a context where people have different access to resources and different capacities to influence each other's choices and lives and consequences. So we'll come back to that in a moment, and I want to say that this is an all-volunteer program put on by Bay Area Nonviolent Communication, bayNVC.org, and it's also a call-in show. We love to get calls from the audience, so if you would like to call us, please do so. Number is 510-433-0700. And you can call with any conflict, but we are hoping you'll call with something that is a workplace-based scenario, such as?
Maybe gossiping in the workplace, or interpersonal conflict between two employees.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe just something like someone's talking to you when you're trying to focus and you don't know how to stop that happening.
Or maybe there is a lot of confusion about roles and decision making and you'd like to get some clarity. Any of these kinds of scenarios, please call us. And let's go back to our original scenario. And this again is Julia. This is Jared, but Jared is actually Julia, and this is Newt, who is playing Robert. So please start from the top.
Very quick feedback, Julia. Just need you to kind of show up as more of a team player, okay, going forward. If you think you could do that, that would be great. That's all.
More of a team player. You want me to show up as more of a...
Right. Right, exactly. You've got it. Yeah.
What do you mean exactly by more of a team player? What are you asking me to do exactly?
Well, just to work with the team. Yeah, you see?
Just work with the team.
Yeah, the team that you're part of, to actually be part of it.
I'd like to pause for a second because I get a sense that this exchange is building up agitation for both of you.
Yeah.
Is it for you?
Well, it's more work than I was expecting to explain something pretty simple.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm imagining that it feels really simple inside of you because you have a picture of what it means.
Yeah, doesn't everyone have a picture of what that means, to be a team player?
Maybe, yeah. But different people might have different pictures, and we all have an easier time painting a picture when we have the colors and the specific details of the picture. So I think that if you can take whatever picture you have inside of what it means to be a team player and apply it in your communication with Julia, she will have more of an understanding, because it looked to me like you were kind of like working hard.
Yeah.
Against kind of some confusion.
Her confusion, yeah, apparently.
But you had some confusion about what to do with that.
Well, I hadn't picked up on that. I was confused, really. It just seemed like she was very confused.
Uh-huh. So it looked to me, looking at you from the outside, that each round was more challenging for you, more agitating.
Well, I couldn't understand why she wasn't getting it. It's just a very simple thing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you would really like some understanding and ease in communicating with her.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's see if you can remember specifically what something that you heard or saw that relates to this idea of being a team player. And this is a key principle in terms of giving feedback. The more you're able to make it specific about something that is observable, and one of the ways that you know that you are on target is if you use the verb to be, you're probably not on target. So be a team player.
Right.
Is kind of like a concept. It's a generalization. But if you can think of A, B, C, what
sure.
would somebody do, or what did Julia not do, that for you would amount to being a team player?
Okay.
That I think would really help her.
You want me to do that?
Yeah, I'd love you to do that.
Okay. So what I'm saying here is that if someone sends you an email saying they need to consult with you before you go ahead on something, I want you to reply to the email or give them a call or go around to their cube, okay?
So it's a basic follow-up.
Yeah, following up with when people are asking you for something. I'm hearing that's not happening. Uh-huh.
So let's just pause for a second. Regardless of how you feel about whether this is, in agreement with your perception,
yeah.
I have a sense that you have much more clarity in understanding what is being talked about.
Yeah, I know what he's talking about now.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful.
Yeah, and do you have a sense of there is more flow now as you're saying that?
Yeah, she seemed to just understand that a little bit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Do you have one or two more?
Sure, yeah. Another one is that there's just some sense that a lot of the guys, you don't need to be hanging out with them on the weekend or anything, but a lot of their thinking actually happens in informal times. Like they lunch with each other sometimes, and they tell me that a lot of problem solving happens like that, and that you just keep yourself to yourself, which is okay, but I just want you to know that you're missing out on opportunities to do a better job here, so.
Okay, so you're saying to spend more time with my coworkers.
Even if just one lunch a week or something, they go out on a Wednesday normally together, you know.
Okay.
So let's pause for a second, because Julia here is being really nice to you.
Yeah.
Because she's telling you back what she's hearing without your asking.
Right, right.
But if she were not to do that, how would you know that she got it? How would you know that she got it?
Well, if she starts going to lunch with them, then I would get it. I'd see that she got it, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a difference between somebody getting what you want and somebody agreeing to do something about it.
Oh.
And when you want to give somebody feedback, there's a step of just having shared understanding of what is being talked about that is separate from whether the person is going to do it or not. Because first there is what is happening, and then there's the suggestions, and then there's seeing if the suggestions will actually work for this person. Because they might work for you, but if they don't work for her, and we had talked about power. If you give somebody a suggestion and they can't say no to it now in the moment, they're likely to say no to it later and you won't see the results that you want. For example, if there is a specific reason why she doesn't like to go with the guys to lunch, then she'll say, sure, I'll go with them, but she won't.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen that happen time and time again.
So I should ask her if there's any specific reason why she's not going to the...
That would help. That would help.
Okay.
And then one of the other things that you gain by that is another issue that often happens in workplaces is bosses don't hear all the information.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
There's a lot that happens that people don't tell you because they're afraid.
Yeah.
But if you are inviting it and in a context where there isn't going to be negative consequences to telling you the truth, then she's more likely to want to tell you.
Right.
So let's see what she says.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why it is that you've not been choosing to do that so far.
Choosing to spend more lunches with my colleagues?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm curious why you're asking me that. I'm not really comfortable.
Just because I'm thinking that if I ask you to do that, but really it's not something that you want to do, then...
Well, I don't want to do it. That's right.
Right, exactly. And that's what I want
to... That's why I haven't been doing it.
Right. And that's what I want to understand, if there's something for me to understand about that.
It's really hard for me to talk about that. I'm not sure I want to tell you why I don't want to have lunch with them. If you're telling me I have to...
No, I'm not. No. No.
Let's pause this for a second, because this is a very rich moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are very uncomfortable, but you are actually telling him something already.
Uh-huh.
You're telling him more truth than you have been, aren't you?
Yeah, I feel pretty vulnerable about it, but yeah.
Yeah. And you want the truth.
Now I do, now that you've suggested that, yeah.
Yeah. You see that, you are uncovering something slowly. If you handle this with enough grace, you will learn something that as a boss is essential for you to know about the functioning of the team.
I'm worried though that this is exactly why I don't ask this kind of thing. You see, she feels like she's on the spot now, and I've put her on the spot.
So what can you imagine saying to her to reassure her that there won't be negative consequences? What?
I could just tell her that.
Do you have a sense of what she might be worried about? Why she doesn't want to tell you?
That it might jeopardize her good standing with me as a boss, and that has lots of repercussions.
Okay,
possible.
That could be one thing. You can check with her if that's the concern.
That it might get back to the other people is something that
could be a second concern. So let's check with her what her concern is and then see if you can reassure her. Because workplaces are very, 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 full of consequences.
Right, right.
So if you want to create more truth, there needs to be a way to reduce the threat of consequences.
Right.
So let's see if we can do that.
So I want you to know really, Julia, there's no consequence one way or the other of you telling me the reason, not telling me the reason, going for lunch with them, not going for lunch with them. That was just a suggestion about one of the ways that the team works. So, how is that for you to hear me say that?
I'm not entirely clear what you mean by no consequences. It's confusing to me. I'm not going to get in any trouble for...
Right. Can I explain what I mean? I got the impression that you were a little bit nervous about saying anything more about that. And I'm guessing you're nervous because you're thinking there might be some negative consequence of telling me or something like that. And so I'm just wanting to reassure you that there's definitely not, you know.
I have to work with these people, and if you're telling me that I need to sit at lunch with them in order to do my job more effectively, then that's coming from you, and obviously I'll have to do that. But you're asking me why I haven't been sitting with them for lunches up until now, and that seems like it's just uncomfortable talking about that. I'm not sure it's this is the right place that I should bring that kind of thing up.
Right, right. And I guess what I'm really wanting you to get is that if there's some reason which is really big for you why you don't want to do it, then I don't want to force you to do it. So what are you getting from me at that moment saying that?
You're telling me that if there's a real big reason for me for not wanting to have lunch with them, then I don't have to.
Right.
So I'm curious if you trust that.
I want to trust it, but I feel like I'm in this really awkward situation right now where I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to get in trouble for.
And part of the difficulty is that the norm in most workplaces doesn't convey a care for the well-being of employees.
Mm.
It's employees are there to do their job.
Right.
And what you are trying to do here is to subvert that norm and convey to Julia that her well-being matters to you.
Yeah.
And I have a sense that you are making some headway, but it's still hard for her to trust.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to happen instantly.
The change in her trust. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, I've never asked anything like this before. So
yeah. So I'm thinking acknowledging that something different is happening right now might help her.
Okay. Yeah. I get the impression that you're a bit nervous about this, and this is a little bit of a weird conversation to be having. And so I just want to be honest with you and say, I'm trying out something new here, which I haven't done before. So you won't have seen this here before.
Okay.
And that's that something about, I got some guidance that actually taking more of an interest in how the people reporting to me are actually doing and what's going on for them and what's, what they're worried about or whatever is going to be advantageous for them, for me, for the company and everything. So I'm just trying that out right now.
Okay.
I'm wanting to know if that's at all reassuring or how it is for you to hear me say that.
It's a little reassuring. I'm confused though, because where we started this conversation, you told me I'm not being a team player. And so that really got me thinking that I had done something wrong and that you were reporting to me that these coworkers who I'm not sitting with at lunch had said something to you, and now I need to do that. So now that I'm hearing you saying that we're doing something different, and you asked me if I was reassured. I mean, I guess I'm reassured, but I'm still...
Yeah, that was kind of the old model of how I do things, me just telling you that you're not a team player, and then I've just remembered that I want to try a different way of connecting with the people in the team,
okay.
Right. So it's a change that's happening here,
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Okay, all right. That's actually very reassuring hearing you say that. Thank you.
I think the message that you're trying to send across is, I want the result that I want, and I want it in a way that works for you.
Right.
I don't want the result at cost to you.
Yes.
That I think is the essence of the message. So then Julia can really see that there's no contradiction. Yes, all other things being equal, you would like her to go to lunch with her coworkers. But right now you're investigating the cost. And if the cost is high, you would want to look for a different strategy to create the result that you want.
Right, right. It doesn't have to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something that can be communicated directly to someone. I want this and not at cost to you.
Yeah.
And I'm curious if you feel comfort enough to say what it is, because I have a sense that there may be something really important for boss here to hear.
Yeah, I'm a lot more comfortable now. I don't think the dynamics between me and a lot of my coworkers is so pleasant. As an example of, I was really scared when you said I need to be more a team player. I imagine that they've probably been saying some things about me behind my back that got to you, and now I'm in trouble for it. So I'm not experiencing the real, ease of working with them and the fun and the play of it, so that it's the thought of being with them during my free time. And then to find out that that's a productive time to do work with them,
right,
that made my stomach drop.
Right.
So now you know that you have trouble in the team.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't solve the problem.
Sure.
But it gives you the information that you, as a boss, need in order to intervene and find a way to make that team work. Just telling her, be a team player, is not going to create that result because it blocks you from seeing what you need to see.
Right.
See.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Okay. I just before we close this, I want to give you a little piece of coaching because not everybody is a boss. Mm-hmm. And there are things that you can do when somebody gives you feedback, even if they give you feedback that's not effective, to train them on the spot to give you feedback, even though they don't know how. Mm-hmm. And what you can do is, what you want to convey to them is that you want their feedback. You want the result that they want, and here's what you need in order to get to the next step. So the first thing, instead of saying, I don't understand what you mean by team player, which I, as the boss, would sound like a little bit like you pushing back or being uncooperative or something like this. If you say something, and I want to check with you, if Julia were to say something like, I'm grateful that you're telling me this, and I want to learn how I can be a better team player, and it would help me if you can give me two or three specific examples of what you have in mind.
That would be great.
It doesn't look to him like training, but I was just training him on what would work for me. Mm-hmm. And even without formal power, you can always train people by giving them the message that you share their goals and you want their support in moving towards those goals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else before we sit down?
No, that was nice.
Thank you. Let's sit down and see what we could learn from this. So is there anything that stands out to you from this work that we just did?
For me, something about, especially the thing about that if you're trying to do something new in how you communicate with people, especially if there's a power differential, being honest enough to say, I've just been to a workshop, mm-hmm. and I learned some things there which I think could be really great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try them and you can give me some feedback, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. How about you? Anything that stands out to you?
I was really surprised at how I just, you know, imagining Newt as my boss made me tense. And I heard everything coming from him from this sense of being less than and mm-hmm. being powerless. And so your coaching at the end was really helpful, a way of keeping...
Empowering yourself.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, the main thing that is standing out to me is how, regardless of power differences, when people have a sense of a shared goal, they can work better together. And there are different things that you can do as boss or as employee to work towards having a sense of shared purpose. And that when you're the boss, it's really important to communicate to the other person, not at cost to you. That's essential in order to get a sense of collaboration.
Mm.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll come back to another scenario, and the other scenario is called You're Late. Invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire, breathe in the air, invoke the water. Turned out this way, 'cause I can always use time for myself, time to develop self-love as a habit, 'cause you sure can't get that from no one else. So I hang out with my diseases, I can cure them good as Jesus, when I find my own true self. Well, that makes people nervous, but I do it nonetheless, 'cause I think it's what we came here for. We
came to breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire. Breathe in the air, invoke the water, honor the earth, burn in the fire.
Welcome back to the Conflict Hotline. This is Miki Kashtan. If you would like to join us, you can call at 510-433-0700. And if you're watching this on YouTube, the next show will be on the first Thursday of April at 7:30, and you can call that same number then. And so we are going back to our next scenario. All the scenarios that we have planned for today are taking place in the same organization. So we still have Robert, but this time, Jared is Fred, not Julia. Hello, Fred.
Hi.
And we are at a meeting that Robert and Fred and a few other people that we don't see on the screen are at. And Robert.
I see you coming in there, Fred. You're late. We were meant to start at 10. It's 10:15. So thanks for showing up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad to be here.
Yeah. If I can just, 10 was the time we were meant to be starting. Are you picking up on that?
Yeah, I got that.
You don't seem very concerned about it, Fred.
Oh, are you upset about this?
I am not upset. The start time is 10 o'clock. It's not about upset.
I got that. 10 o'clock. I'm here. I'm ready.
Right. And it's now 10:17 and you're here and ready.
Yeah. Should we begin?
Well, we may need to speak about this later, I think.
So you are a little upset about it.
Fred, this is nothing to do with my upset. This is to do with your punctuality.
Yeah, but I just asked you if you were upset about it, and you said that you weren't upset about it, but clearly you're upset about it. If you're upset about it, just say you're upset about it.
I can't believe what I'm hearing, quite frankly.
That makes two of us.
Okay, thank you. How confident are either of you that this conversation, if it were to continue without assistance, would lead to a place that you would be satisfied with?
Not very likely.
Probably not so nice, but I have a sense my character maybe comfortable with the escalation.
You are comfortable with the escalation?
Well, maybe.
Fred's just comfortable. Full stop. I think he's just comfortable, no matter what, it seems to me.
And you don't like that?
Well, not if it means that other people are waiting around for his input or, you know.
So there's something you want from him?
Yes, I want him to arrive on time.
Yeah, and the way that you're talking to him about it clearly is not reaching him.
Right, it's like he's living in cloud cuckoo land or something, yeah.
He's some other place that is not affected by what you're saying.
Clearly, yeah.
Are you curious what is going on for him?
No.
Then you will keep having him late for meetings.
Hmm.
That's the sad reality.
Not if I fire him, I won't.
Right, but then you won't have his talents. And he has some really unique and irreplaceable talents. You want him around.
Right, that's why he's getting so cocky and full of himself and thinks he doesn't need to show up on time.
Okay, but the principle here is that if you want something so much that you're not curious about the other person, you're not likely to get it.
Well.
Just imagine yourself in his shoes.
Okay.
There's clearly something going on. There's a reason why he's late.
Well, maybe. not a good reason.
I don't know, good or not good. There is a reason for everything that happens. There is some reason.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Philosophically, yeah, okay.
You don't know why he's late.
I don't know why he's late, no. I know it's not the first time.
Yes. And you have said something like what you said today all of these times.
Yes, that's right.
And I don't have a sense that it has gotten you very far.
No.
So I'm going to inquire into Fred. He's not hearing us right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not hearing us right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens to you when he says all of these things about you being late? What goes on inside of you that you would never tell him?
That I would never say?
Yeah.
I just kind of give up. I don't really care.
And why is that? Do you know?
Probably out of some sense of hopelessness it doesn't really matter what I do. And the best thing he could do would be to fire me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a sense of defeat is what would be my real truth.
Yeah, and so even though I said you don't hear it because we are going in and out of role play, you heard it. In within the role play, he would never say this to you. But as you are thinking about it right now, if somebody has such a sense of hopelessness, they wouldn't have a motivation to show up on time.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't have a motivation to listen to you and want to give you anything that you want. So if there's any hope in getting what you want, it's about transforming the nature of this relationship. And that probably started 2 or 3 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
So
it was tough.
Yeah. When there is a persistent pattern, it takes effort and care to change it. Very often at the heart of persistent patterns like this, there is a lack of trust that the person matters.
But you know, Mickey, this is all very well, but we pay him. I'm just another employee, but the company pays him to come here and do the job. So,
yeah.
You know, where do I have to suddenly start being his, you know, his whatever, his wet nurse or his therapist or whatever it is that you're asking me to do?
I appreciate the dilemma. And one of the principles that I like to say is, it is not about what is fair. It is only about what is possible. What is possible to create here between the two of you? Do you have a sense?
I no idea yet, no.
But if you come to it with an open mind and experiment and try to reach connection, what would happen? Just try in whatever way you can imagine to reach connection here. Let's see what happens.
Okay. You want me to?
He just walked in. It's 10:17.
I think if I'm trying to reach connection, given what happened before, I'm just going to say, "Morning, Fred. We were just talked a little bit about what Susan was doing last week, and that's pretty much as far as we've got so far. So, Susan, would you be able to fill Fred in after the meeting on what he missed? Okay, good. So, are you okay with just going forward from there?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
So I'm concerned about this approach.
Okay.
Because here you're giving up on yourself.
No, I'm not. I'm planning to not have the conversation with him in front of everyone else in the meeting.
Got it. So your conscious choice is to make this moment as smooth as possible.
Yeah.
And have the conversation at a later moment.
And do something different than what happened before, where it was just that.
Yeah.
Fruitless back and forth. I just thought I'd just do something different this time.
And I bet even this was, there was some relief for you, because when you walk in the door knowing you're late, you know, like, oh, once again, I'm going to have to face all that sarcasm.
Mm-hmm. It was a little bit better. You know, the piece with getting caught up with Susan later was felt like a little bit of a dig, but maybe that was my guilty conscience.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here you are. The meeting's over.
Okay. Can I just have a chat with you, Fred, before we go back to our desks?
Yeah, I'm right here, man.
Okay. I want to try something different. So let's see how this goes. I'm guessing that you've got some perfectly good reasons why you're showing up at meetings, you know, 15, 20 minutes late pretty regularly. And I'm aware...
It's not that regularly. I mean, it happens once in a while. Okay, it happens a lot, but...
Right.
Not every time. I mean, sometimes I make it.
Right. But on the occasions when it does happen, I'm guessing that you've got something that's, something going on which makes that happen.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm trying to be here. I'm definitely trying to be here. But just stuff comes out. Sometimes I'm late.
Right. And I I realize that in all the time, you know, we've been working together, I've never really asked you about that. I've just told you that I want you to be on time. And, you know, we've often had that kind of friction when you come in and so on. And I'm just wanting to try and figure it out, if there's something that I could understand about it that I don't already understand.
You're asking me why I'm late?
I guess I'm asking more than that. I'm asking how it's going for you working for me and how it's going for you working in a team. You know, because the impression that I'm getting is that you're not particularly loving it very much, and that's part of why that you're not showing up on time. It's because you're just not feeling very motivated.
Yeah, I think there's probably some of that's probably true.
So I get a sense that you're getting some traction.
Right.
Different conversation.
It's a different conversation.
The Teflon has cracks in it. Something is coming through.
Right.
He's engaging with you.
Right.
And that's the beginning of change. We don't know where that's going to go. That's the beginning of change.
Right.
So I want to see, because I'm so committed to whatever the situation, whatever the setup, each person can change what is happening. I want to see, suppose Robert doesn't change at all.
Mm.
What is it that you might do to transform the situation? Because I get a sense if you're regularly late and you're regularly getting, you know, chastised in ways that are really unpleasant, yeah, and just have to put all this effort in pushing it away and deflecting it, it's stressful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe you can kind of like try to gather up some courage and see what is it that you would need to say to Robert.
I'm not even sure it's something I could say to Robert. It seems like it seems so big, the whole system, the whole meetings, everyone. I really think the most empowering, self-responsible decision I could make would just be to find a new job. It feels so hopeless working at this organization.
And this is what often happens, is people think that the only way out is out.
Yeah.
And I would like to see if, before deciding whether you're going out or not, since in any event it doesn't seem like you're going out. You've been in this.
I'm going about 15 or 20 minutes late on the regular.
Yeah, but you're not actually leaving.
Right.
And you have been doing this for 2 years?
Yeah.
So there's usually quite a bit of suffering in that, in just staying and not doing anything about it and not leaving. So let's see, given that you are staying, if there is something that you can do about it. If you were to kind of like boil it down to what's something about the system that bothers you?
I think meetings aren't as efficient or effective as I would like.
Okay, and what specifically, what would you like to see happen?
I'd like there to be more order, more purpose, agenda items kept to, commitments made, follow through.
And what would keep you from putting together a proposal and approaching Robert about it?
My sense is some idea that he's not effective enough at doing that. Like some thought, some judgment of him that he can't do that.
Okay. So really what we're talking here about is about an employee giving feedback to a boss when there isn't necessarily a system in place for doing that.
Yeah. Yes.
So if you all remember, we said we would talk about power, so I want to take a moment to talk about that because what happens is when you don't have the power, you need to have more skill and capacity to make up for the lack of power so that the person will be motivated to listen to you. So one of the key things that you can do to support yourself in that is to frame it and to intend it to be with his best interests in mind. You're doing it not as a complaint, but as an attempt to support him. There is some good chance that if you don't have a sense that the meetings are effective, he doesn't either. Let me just check with him offline. Is it true that you're not particularly thrilled about the way the meetings are going?
I don't like to think about it too much, you know. I just kind of push through and do it. I talk my way through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, meetings are that way, you know.
Yeah. So there is a general hopelessness in the culture about meetings. But it sounds like you might have some ideas about how to make the meeting more productive. So it might be a relief and a gift to him. So see if you can just try like the beginning of a conversation of where you come to him with a proposal and see if that changes the dynamic between you. Are you open to trying that?
Yeah, I'm open to trying that.
Of course, he hasn't heard anything that we've talked about, including what he has said.
Right. So, Robert, would you mind if I took a minute of your time?
Sure.
I guess the first thing I'm curious about is I want to have a sense if you're enjoying the way meetings have been going lately.
Meetings are meetings. You know, they're a necessity. You know.
Okay.
I mean, you can't expect to have fun particularly, right? That's what I'm saying. It's just something we have to do. It's business.
Right. So I'm hearing you don't expect them to be fun, but are you finding them effective?
Well, we seem to be getting along, you know? So I don't, why? Where's this headed?
I'm glad you're asking me that. I guess to be really transparent, I'm having a very hard time at the meetings. They're not going as well as I would like. And I'm really just, I have some ideas for how they could go better and some observations. And I'm bringing this to you in the hopes that maybe if you had a similar sense of how the meetings were going as I did, there might be room to come up with some strategies for how they could be made more to my liking.
So you don't like the way that I facilitate?
It's a start.
Yeah.
And let me give you two pointers. One is he may not even be aware or willing to admit that he doesn't like the way the meetings are going, especially if he has some dissatisfaction with you. But if you were to just say something like, that you have some ideas about how the meetings could go better and you think that he might like them and that he might get more out of the meetings, I have a sense that might be less challenging for him. Is that true?
A little bit less, yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you have the ideas written clearly and it doesn't make it look like he's doing something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate. That makes a lot of sense.
All right. Anything that you want to say in closing about this scenario before we take a break?
I'm amazed that when someone's my boss, just how kind of intimidating that is. I didn't realize I carried that much tension around it. And for me, there was so much more play and ease about showing up late and having this cavalier attitude. It was much harder to be invested in repairing the relationships or asking for what I would like.
Mm-hmm. Anything stands out to you?
Just how easy it is to get stuck in a pattern and keep on repeating the same kind of dynamic again and again and again. And something about just getting another opinion, actually, on how to do something different. Yeah.
So it's like getting a fresh perspective from the outside, support.
Right.
And it's so easy to forget about asking for support.
Yeah, yeah. To admit that you don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's take another break. And when we come back, we will do one more scenario, which we call Let Me Do My Work. And it will feature Robert, and Jared will be Susan.
Sometimes I feel like the devil. Sometimes I am free. Sometimes I am bound. And I have been recruited. And I've been persecuted. And it just seems to keep coming around. Yes, but I am not afraid of the man today, 'cause he revealed himself in a past life interaction we had. Make no mistake, he burned me at the stake, but it did not hurt that bad, because I breathe in the air.
Welcome back to the Conflict Hotline. And our current scenario, and it's going to be really brief because we're close to the end, is called Let Me Do My Work. And it features, once again, our boss, Robert, who is actually Newt in real life. And Susan, who you can easily see, is in real life Jared.
Okay. Okay, Susan, I emailed you a list of action items this morning before you came in, 8:30, and I just need to know, it's already, we're pushing noon, so could you tell me how many of those you've got ticked off? It was probably 30,
no, Robert.
It was 14.
Robert.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you gave me this task, you said that you really were going to trust me to take care of this on my own, and you were going to let me have a lot of space?
Absolutely.
And autonomy. Do you remember?
Absolutely, totally.
And remember,
yeah.
You asked me to point out to you when you started to micromanage and invade my process a little bit? Do you remember?
Invade your process? I don't think I told you that I was going to be invading your process.
Those weren't your exact words, but you did say that you were really going to trust me to take care of this on my own.
Yeah, they were not my exact words, Susan.
Okay.
And I'm just simply asking you, I'm not micromanaging, I'm most certainly not invading, I am trying to find out feedback on the email that I sent you. I don't see that that's so out of order.
This is the kind of thing that we were talking about that you do that really disrupts the flow and the ease and the fun and the diligence I have with doing these projects. I'd just like some trust from you that I am taking care of it. I will get you everything you need, but I'm taking care of it. Can you give me some space?
Okay. Fair enough. Can you just give me a number of how many action items you've covered? I mean, would that be too much to ask, and without any details?
I haven't looked. I'm somewhere on the list. I'll let you know by the end of the day. End of the day. Can you wait until the end of the day?
Okay.
You want to know how many action items I've taken care of by the end of the day?
I would like to, yeah. And which ones?
Okay, end of the day. I'll let you know by the end of the day.
Okay. Actually, there is just one, number six, if you remember number six.
Do you hear yourself?
No, but that's...
You hear yourself?
It's a very important...
Do you hear yourself?
Thank you. Let's pause for a second. Unfortunately, we won't be able to get all the way through this, but there's so much richness here. I can just really see how much both of you want to make it work.
Yeah.
And each of you is stepping on the other person's toes.
Right.
In a way that is so unpleasant, and I really get that you want to work it out.
Yeah.
And you know what you did that contributed to him losing the capacity to hear.
I accused him of invading my space?
Of course. As soon as you use language that in any way implies blame, the other person is not going to be able to hear anymore. Even if you had a conversation, the conversation that you had probably didn't include the words invade.
No.
And so then he is going to be defensive from beginning to end once you said that. Mm-hmm. Once you said that. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. The other thing on your end, I'm getting a sense that there is quite a bit of anxiety for you about really ensuring that the results will happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. There's pressure on me from other people, you know, that I'm protecting her from.
And I was left wondering whether the agreement that you tried to make with her last time you talked about it, where you said that you were going to let her do it mm-hmm. her way, whether that was something that you really wholeheartedly agreed to.
Not wholeheartedly.
No. Yeah, and this is one of the other keys to making communication work in the workplace and everywhere else. If you get somebody to agree to something for any reason other than wholeheartedly, they will sabotage the agreement, consciously or unconsciously. They will just not do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I'm curious if you have quick access to what led you to say yes, even though it was not really a yes?
Because she was very worked up, and I just wanted her to calm down.
Okay. So that delays the conflict.
Yeah.
It never prevents it.
Right, right.
And then it comes back, usually stronger.
Right.
It doesn't go away.
That's what's happened.
Okay, so you have an agreement that doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
So what it looks to me like is you're going to need to really look more closely at what is happening. What is it that keeps you in some fashion not trusting her?
Uh-huh.
Is it something that she did?
Right.
Or is it something outside both of your control?
Right, right.
If it's something that she did, then be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she can recognize that, you know, like one out of four times she doesn't actually complete the tasks, she might be more willing to view your questions as support.
Right.
If it isn't something that she does, if it's something outside both of your control, then you two can form an alliance partnership to figure out what you can do with the pressures that you're under, instead of you protecting her from those pressures but giving her different pressures indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my
quick coaching.
Hopefully this will support the relationship transforming over time.
Yeah.
And let's go back, and I think we are coming up to the end, but before the end, I'm wondering, even with this quick coaching, was there anything, any aha for you about this?
The aha, as you said, was for me was the agreement that wasn't so, and having, for my end, I would have liked to have been more attentive to that when we made that agreement.
Yeah. And for you?
Just the possibility of explaining, like seeing that I'm anxious about this, and maybe finding a way to tell the truth about why that is. It's a touchy thing, though, because I'm trying to be the boss and all in control, but just that possibility, maybe.
Thank you. Yeah. So now, kind of like, let's take a step back on the show as a whole, which we're coming to the end of, and any of the themes that we covered today that stands out to you, what are you left with from what we did today?
For me, it would be just that simple requirement to give specifics rather than using the word to be. You are lazy. You are
late.
You need to be. Yeah, you are late. You need to be a team player. and those kind of generalizations and descriptions, and instead say, I've heard that you've done this, or I've seen you do this, or I want you to do this. Mm-hmm. Specifics. So.
Thank you. How about you?
A greater appreciation of how charged and complicated the workplace is. Just the container that is the workplace, with so many nuances of top down and interpersonal relationships. How navigating that in this way that's more likely to get everyone's cooperation is challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, what stands out to me is paradoxically how much all of that falls away, and at the heart of it are two human beings trying to connect to each other within a system that has structures and dynamics that are larger than their creation, but they can still find a way to reach through it. So if you found this interesting, please check out this month. We have a bunch of opportunities related to workplace communication that you can participate in this month and the next 2 months. The website is www.bayNVC.org. If you want to send us feedback or suggested scenarios for next time, send it to conflicthotline@bayNVC.org. Thank you to Jared.
Thank you.
Thank you to Newt.
Thank you.
I appreciate how you really rolled with the rather challenging scenarios, if I may say so. And I am appreciating all the people on the crew who are also all volunteers. And I invite you to call us back and watch us next month, the first Thursday of every month at 7:30. See you then. Good night.
I take a deep, dark breath of your fear. Breathe out compassion to you. And the next breath is for all the people who can relate to me and you. You cannot see eye to eye. Won't you step up with me and try? Drop the fences down.